Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net.
Hello, everybody. My name is Byron LeBeau, and welcome to Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. Today, it's Monday, April the 6th, the year of our Lord, 2009. And tonight, we have another ordinary person bearing witness to his extraordinary ordeal in his search for the real Jesus Christ. Now, you may have heard the expression, curiosity killed the cat. Well, Glenn, being a curious fellow that he is now working on his 10th life, metaphorically speaking. In my own curious search for the real father and the real son, I had noticed two deadly underpinnings that would actually prevent us from finding the real father and the son. The first is the false tenet of evolution, and the other is the belief in having many lives in different bodies before we can be reunited to God. I have addressed both of these fallacies on my website, Inspector B. LeBeau, where the curiosity of pursuing things revolving around reincarnation actually blinded me for a time from finally connecting the two dots of total biblical reality. If you read the book Out on the Broken Limb by F. Legard Smith, you may find what I found, convincing evidence not to go down this particular rabbit hole of reincarnation, which just happens to be loaded with many, many hooks. And secondly, regarding evolution, I have posted a webpage called The Awe Factor, in honor of Joe Jordan's comment on the November 17th interview with Greg Messina last year. And briefly put, this particular webpage gives a plethora of reasons not to believe in the old universe, therefore negating evolution, but rather it has convincing scientific evidence for a much younger universe. If you take the time to view the six components of this particular webpage alone, you will have enough suggested data to make a real informed decision about the truth the Bible is referring to, which in turn throws a mighty light on the dark matrix of false reality presently ensconced within both the New Age and the ufological literature, loaded with even more bait to hook the unwary. Well, now, speaking of hooks, we have with us again the captain of hooks, Joe Jordan, who has spent a number of years helping to hook people away from their own strong delusions and helping to place them safely back on the proper course of having a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to welcome back Captain Joe. How are you doing, Joe?
Doing good, Byron, and thank you for letting us come on with another powerful testimony. And the one we have tonight, you mentioned his name was Glenn, and yes. I came across Glenn's story on our Alien Resistance message board that we have on Google. And I saw his story, and it was quite fascinating. We had already been doing these testimonies, and I was kind of putting a word out there through the message board that if anybody had a testimony similar that we could share, you know, we'd be looking for those. And I saw his, and I was just amazed at what he's gone through. And A lot of the testimonies that we've had on are from people who have been pretty much free of their experiences for quite some time now. But Glenn is just recently come to the truth. I mean very recently, and he'll tell you some of that in his story. But I had a chance to talk with him for quite a lengthy period and got to know him a little bit. And you brought up a couple key points, like going down the rabbit hole and getting caught with hooks. And what you're going to hear with this particular testimony is going to allude to open doors. Be careful of the doors you open and the doors that the enemy makes available. And that's one thing that I want you to really listen to carefully. And you'll see some similarity between his story and one that we had on a while back, which was Lynn Dickey out of Texas. Mm. That caught my attention, that seeing that the same type of hook was used with both of them. And it's a seduction that the enemy puts on these people. And they're not knowing any better. They fall for it. And hence the open door that they've stepped into, and pretty much it takes them down that dirt road. And we do welcome Glenn back to the truth. And Glenn, glad to have you on this evening.
Thank you. Hi, Byron.
Yeah, hi, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, sure. And yeah, I was listening to what Joe was saying, and it's true that you may be new to the walk, but that doesn't mean that that you're not fully prepared for it, or eager to bear witness to the truth of what you've been through and what you're going through and what you're leaving behind. And this is interesting. Joe brought up Lynn Dickey, and I listened very keenly to what Lynn was saying about how these beings, which he at first wasn't too aware of, but then once she was able to put two and two together, she came to the opinion that she was, in fact, being used. And part of it had to do with these taking of pictures, much and very similar, by the way, to another person that I interviewed fairly recently, back in the early part of March, a very nice person who is Kevin Unterberger. And he also went through the mill, and taking pictures was, again, another one of these similar agendas that these particular crafty beings were doing. Apparently, they seem to be lacking in creativity. Because to me, it seems like they use the same old tricks on different people. And when one person gets the notion that they're being fooled, and they either fold up shop or they change their agenda. But it is amazing to me how similar many of these particular stories are. Now, in your particular case, I was noticing, I was both listening to some of the things that you were talking about and also reading about your story. And I saw that in your fairly young life, as one of three, I separated into three different parts. It was the pre-pix, the pix, and the post-pix. And, of course, by pix, I mean taking video pictures of things. But before you got involved with winning a camcorder, and all the things that went along with that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about some of the things that you were curious about as a younger man, including your beliefs and even your non-beliefs, for that matter, and perhaps even how your father figured into all of this.
Sure. Well, I grew up Catholic, okay? I've always had this fear of aliens. That's what really brought this on. I've had this fear basically my entire life. And it was just last year that I decided to face this thing head on. And, of course, previously I've pretty much fallen for every trap that there has been. You know, I was starting to believe in reincarnation, a lot of the New Age stuff. They're so tactful in how they do it, a lot of the times you don't even realize that you're falling for it. So, and there were times before this that, I was doubting the Bible. I read it once probably, but I mean, I wasn't reading it on a daily basis or anything like that. And I was actually doubting the existence of Jesus Christ too before this.
Okay, so you were doubting the Bible. Did you believe in God? when you were doubting the Bible?
Yes.
Okay, so you believed in God, but when you say you were doubting the Bible, were you doubting either the stories themselves or some of the details of the stories, or what exactly were you doubting?
I was doubting some of the stories, like I put in the little article that I wrote that Joe came across, that I was doubting, like Noah's Ark, you know, that kind of stuff. I was really, from a personal standpoint, I was seeing it as kind of children's stories.
Yeah. Right. In other words, how could Noah fit all of the animals in the world, even if they were only limited to two in an ark, even though it was fairly large boat or ship, for that matter?
Yes. So,
okay.
I had my doubts.
Right. I know when I was young growing up in the church, no one ever tried to explain to me how they did that. I mean, this came under the faith part of when you read the stories in the Bible, that somehow it's done. After all, you got to remember, the Bible, it's really phenomenology. We're dealing with phenomena. As far as God is concerned, if you do believe, you're dealing with a supernatural phenomena that made everything, so therefore he has to be outside of time and space. So what would seem very puzzling to us is certainly not puzzling to a being of that nature. The problem is people can't seem to wrap their minds around the fact that there is a being outside of time and space who made all and everything. And that's where much of the conjecture comes in. Therefore, well, if they doubt that, they're going to doubt all the other things that this being is saying of himself through his own word, through his prophet. So it all really boils down to a faith. And this is some of the things that hopefully we'll be able to discuss tonight. How did you get around that? Are there any things really that would show that it's not just a blind faith? Okay, so these are critical questions, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we even move on, your whole family life, was there anything about either your father, your mother, or your background that would either sway you one way or the other, or for being either a believer or leading you into a non-belief, or perhaps being lukewarm about this whole thing?
Well, I think as far as the family life, we believed in God and all that, but I wasn't specific enough in believing in Jesus Christ. And and also, that you mentioned my father, one of the funny things before this happened is that I would argue that aliens exist till I was blue in the face with them. Like, we would sit out on the patio some days and have this debate back and forth kind of thing. And he never believed in them. But I would argue till I was blue in the face that these things exist. There was too much evidence, all that kind of stuff.
And did he give you any kind of a intelligent reason as to why he think they did not exist?
No, he just, basically he said, until he sees proof, kind of thing, that he wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Was your father one of these people with the five senses? How did he prove by five senses, or he wasn't going to go for it?
He does have, a strong faith and everything, but he didn't fall for that one, that's for sure.
This
all started this past summer. Like, we're talking August 15th. 2008, around there. I finally decided to find out for sure, because I was having trouble sleeping, that kind of thing. And I didn't understand how I could be so fearful. So what I did, I figured in my mind, and of course I was curious. This is all about curiosity and, of course, going too far. But I was also seeking the truth. Purposely. So I was seeking the truth, no matter what the truth would be. So if it turned out that aliens were true, that's fine. You know, I was ready for what was the truth. So,
okay.
I was open to whatever it would be.
Okay, now when you say August, do you mean August of 2008, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that when Joe says you're recently in the war, he wasn't kidding, because that's not even a year ago.
That's right.
That you went through, I would have to call it a very compressed exploration of these things. Before August, sorry, let's use August as a touching point. Before August of 2008, how in fact did you feel about these aliens, and how would you connect them with UFOs?
I was very fearful.
What did you think in your mind they were?
I was very fearful, and I couldn't understand what they were, because I could not accept aliens and accept the Bible. I could not accept both. For some reason, I could not put both together. So either one was true, one wasn't.
I see. So this is almost a conundrum. On the one hand, you're doubting some of the things you're reading in the Bible, and on the other hand, you have these aliens that they either exist or don't exist, and if they do exist, I guess it throws out the Bible. I mean, from one perspective, and if they don't exist, what does that mean? That the Bible's true?
Well, I'll explain what I found out.
Okay.
So what happened was I looked on the internet, and I figured my first starting point was there must be real footage out there. So that's where I started. So I started for weeks looking through the internet for real footage, and there's so much fake stuff out there, you know, 99% of it is fake. But then, bingo, I found it. And, I found what I felt was real footage. And so from there, I started watching it. And one of the interesting things that happened way before I started filming, this is just from watching this person's footage. I found one person that was filming these things, and I started noticing crows showing up. And I never had crows in my backyard or on my property that I ever noticed. And suddenly, crows are showing up, and I'd be going for walks with my wife, and it was like the crows were following us around the neighborhood, like they'd be on every corner. And of course, I dismissed it, but I did write him a message, and I said, the weirdest thing has started happening. You know, crows have started showing up, and I kind of instantly knew it was related to watching his videos. So at that point, after watching his videos for, a few weeks, I decided, and, you know, we're talking in August here, I decided to pull a camcorder that I won the previous December. So I decided to pull it out of the box. I wasn't using it, and I was feeling guilty for not using it. So I decided to use it, and my goal was to see if I can replicate his footage, because he had unbelievable footage. Like, I mean, there were, the gray aliens with the black almond eyes. They were all over the place. He had UFOs, you name it. It was unbelievable, the footage that he had. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, so I just wanted to clear that point up, that you started your search by going on the internet and looking for what you would frame as real footage of aliens. Now, many people would stop you right there and would say, hey, listen, Glenn, how would you be able to determine whether you are looking at real footage of aliens as opposed to a lot of the nonsense that's on the internet regarding the same subject? How did you separate that out in your mind?
Well, I didn't do it right away. I was skeptical at first, but I kept watching his And, you know, the other ones, I could tell right away they weren't real. But his, I was at least intrigued that this could be it. You know, this could be the actual footage that I've been looking for. And so I didn't come to the conclusion immediately. And actually, I didn't come to the conclusion until I started filming myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't taking one of his clips. I mean, he had dozens and dozens of clips. And
okay.
Just to let you know, Joe, I believe, has seen them. I let Joe know
mm-hmm.
the person's name.
Okay, now before we, I want to move on to the camcorder, but I want to get something straight in my own mind about this. The you're using whatever the source is on the internet, and then filtering out other sources, that this is mm-hmm. potentially real footage. Now, were you using anything as a barometer or an anchor to, in your own mind, that would help you to determine that if you did see something on the internet, that you would be able to at least have a feeling that it would be real? Was there anything else that you were using as a barometer, like something you read in a book that, or a source that you trusted?
No, there was certainly a feeling that it was real footage, and
mm-hmm.
it wasn't taking just one of his clips. Like, I was studying his clips for weeks, and he had a number of them on there. So I wasn't just
mm-hmm.
taking one clip and reaching a conclusion. I took all of his together to come to my conclusion that this is the most real stuff I've seen. Now I need to take it to the next step and try to replicate what he has on film. And that would be my proof, because if I film it and I'm getting exactly what he has on film, that's proof to me.
Okay. All right. Well, at least there's a rationale there. I want to get into the camcorder, but what about these crows that were showing up? Did these crows only start showing up when you were searching for the real footage of aliens, or were they always around your home, or what?
No, they weren't always around my home. They only showed up once I started watching his videos. All I can say, and that I learned later, was that there's an actual evil presence through watching the videos. I'll give you an example. Once I started filming these and myself, and I was posting them for all to see, there was a person. I'm getting ahead of myself, because once I took my videos off, my videos were gone. There was a person that wouldn't believe me unless he saw the videos. So what I did was I gave him the name of the person who I learned to film off of, and he started watching this person's videos. And just to make a long story short, he wouldn't sleep at night any longer. And last time I heard, he was having thoughts of shooting himself. So that's how serious these videos are.
Now this is the stuff from the camcorder that you sent them. Is that correct?
Yes. These are the videos. Now, this person wasn't watching my videos. He wanted proof of, because I erased all my videos. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here.
Yeah, okay. All right. I tell you what, let's back up a little bit, because you want to go to step two. Step two, I assume, is the camcorder, where you've now come to the conclusion that, well, I've seen enough on the internet with whoever this person is, and now I'm going to do my own experiment, so to speak, with my own equipment, so that there'll be no funny business going on. In other words, what I film, I know there's no camera trickery or anything along those lines, which would be the first thing the skeptic would say, that somebody is just superimposing something on a digital background, you know.
Exactly. So I went to.
I can understand. Yeah, right. I do understand that. All right. Now, okay. All right. So we got the camcorder, and that you won. You won this camcorder. How convenient.
mm-hmm.
All right. and it's just laying there waiting to be used. And so you you would now take it out, and this is step two. So how did you go about filming these aliens? Did you have a plan that you were using for this?
No, I just went out one night to film. There was no plan, really. And I did 99% of my filming right in my backyard. And I'm in a subdivision,
mm-hmm.
so there's homes around
mm-hmm.
me, but there's a tree line right in my backyard that separates us from
right.
the next property. So what I did, I went out one night, and this story may not amaze people, this first story, but I can guarantee you it gets better. But I started looking around for something to film, and I noticed something in the clouds, and all of a sudden, these alien faces started appearing in the clouds, like hundreds
mm-hmm.
of them. So I started filming them, and they were crystal clear. Like it wasn't like it could be mistaken or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
a few of them were grinning. And what I compare
mm-hmm.
the grin to is it's like an evil grin, and I compared it to the Joker in Batman. You know, that kind of
right.
big grin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got the first time. And, of course, that's when I started. That was the whole beginning. And I started posting those for, you know, the world to see kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next, the footage has started. The next footage I took was daytime footage. And I got them pretty clear right in the daytime, right in my backyard. And that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, the gray aliens. There was a number of them right in my backyard. And, of course, this blew my mind. Like,
yeah.
When you see this stuff in person, it's mind-blowing. Like, I'm still trying to cope with the reality of this. So,
mm-hmm.
So you know, they have the black almond eyes. And there was one that I mentioned to you, Byron, when we spoke with the triangle head.
Yeah.
Which I saw in some other footage too.
Mhm. Right. And of course the triangle head is that's what appears in the snake like object. Some would compare them to the so called praying mantis, because that's exactly what they have, a large triangular type of head. And they do come up in the abduction phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
In particular,
mm-hmm.
this particular type of entity. And for now, you haven't really made up your mind exactly what these entities were at this point, I assume. Right?
Oh, no, I did. That's the part that, you know, I realized the mistake I made. Because right away, I knew what they were. I knew they weren't aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I knew immediately that they were demons.
Really? Okay. Now, you got to explain that a little bit, because I thought this is like an objective exercise that you're doing to try to prove to yourself that, A, they're aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're intuitively telling me that, well, they're alien, but, you know, you're actually fingering the root of who these aliens are.
Well, they were trying to portray themselves as aliens, and all I can say is, you know, God showed me what they really were. They,
oh.
like, I knew for a fact, without a single doubt, that they are not aliens whatsoever. That, like, I knew for sure that they were
mm-hmm.
demons.
Okay. Well, for people who are listening to this interview, give me one example of how you knew for sure, you could rule out for sure they weren't ETs from far, far away. There's something more to it than that.
Okay. Well, you know, like I say, the feeling came to me right away. And it's hard to explain. Like, when people feel that they've been told something by God, it's hard I've noticed that it's hard for people to say it. All that I can say is that it was an absolute knowing. It was an absolute knowing of what they really were. And and all of a sudden, I knew there's no such thing as aliens whatsoever. There's no good aliens. There's no bad aliens. And there's no life elsewhere other than here. And so all of this came to me. And to the point where every night I was just clinging to the Bible. You know, I started reading the Bible every single night.
Okay, so in other words, ironically, the search for alien life led you right back to the Bible.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think they thought they had me. I mean, I really think, because I spoke with Joe about this too. I don't think I was saved at that point. You know, I'll tell you, I got saved pretty fast when I saw these, though. Because just knowing that they're real is it's just mind blowing. And they're a lot more real than what people think.
Well, you'll have to explain that, because are we dealing now simply from interpretations of what you're seeing through the camcorder, or
give me an
idea of what you're dealing with here.
Okay. I'll give you a clear example one night. One night, you know, you can picture it's dark. I'm out there on, my back patio there. And I'm sitting down, I have the viewfinder open, and that's how I'd always look to figure out, you know, the best spot to film them. And I'll tell you, they would appear every single night. Like, I could get them, I could go out tonight and film them. So anyway, that night, I got some amazing footage, the clearest footage that I ever had. And there were three lights. There was and by the way, just to give you a detail here, for some reason, except for the last footage that I filmed, I couldn't film their bodies. I could only film the head. For some reason, the bodies wouldn't show. And another piece of detail for your listeners, some people can't see them, some people can. Like, there were people when we posted these things, that they thought you were nuts. They thought you were filming trees. They couldn't, you know, they could not see them. So it's totally supernatural. And it took me a few weeks to realize, you know, because I thought the people were just, mocking and that kind of thing. But no, some people really cannot see them. And some people can see them clear as anything. And apparently I'm one of the people that can see them very clearly. So anyway, back to this one night.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to this one night. I'm filming three lights. There's a gray that's upside down, the head, okay? I filmed them in, like, distorted positions. Like, one was facing me. It was upside down. The middle light, the gray head, was completely upside down. And then to the far right, and this is off the ground, by the way, to the far right, it's looking off to the right, and it's as if I'm filming it from overhead. So the other two was like I was filming them face on. This other one to the right was like I was overhead filming. I could see the top of its head. You know, it was really like a scene from hell kind of thing. And anyway, down on the ground, there was this large gray head that I could see crystal clear, and it was about three times larger than any of the other heads. And I could see it so clear, I could see the reflectiveness of the black eyes. Like, it was so clear. And then there was one in front of that one, too. Like, sometimes you hear the term legions of demons. I've seen footage, and I've filmed footage, where they are so close together, there's so many of them, it looks like they're almost detached. Like there's that many. Like I'm pretty convinced that these are almost everywhere. Like this isn't not to scare your listeners or anything, but I'm pretty convinced that these demons are pretty much everywhere. And that's why I hope everyone listening tonight, if they're not saved, to make sure that they get saved.
Right. Well, you know, that's not too surprising to me, because in the New Testament, of course, when Jesus is casting out the demons, asked them their name, and they replied, "Our name is Legion, since we are many."
Oh, yeah. Like, so, they were so close. It looks like their heads are, like, connected together. They're that close. There's so many of them. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that was one night. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you take this picture that actually shows a gray three times as large as the others with reflective black eyes, and and you'll have people look at that and they won't even think it's this is a gray or at least an alien-like being they're looking at?
Some people couldn't see it whatsoever. Some people, like I would get comments that would say like nice trees, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I will tell you a funny story that you reminded me of, Byron. I had this this guy that was called UFO Hunter. I don't know who he was, but he was pretty serious about UFOs and getting authentic footage. So he saw this particular one. He was watching some of my previous clips. And I read his comment. He wrote on that particular clip that I just described in detail that they were dolls. He said something like, "Nice dolls, you know, try harder next time." And I'm just thinking to myself, you're seeing the real thing of what you've probably been looking for all your life. You're seeing it, and you think that they're dolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's just an interpretation of somebody who hasn't really examined anything but giving an opinion about something he's seeing on a film, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the team? Is that the UFO Hunters that's run by Bill Burns? That team, that's on Sci-Fi or the History Channel?
It could have just been a nickname.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure
okay,
who
I got it. Right.
There
by
is,
the way, is
Byron.
Yes, Joe.
There is a leading researcher in the field that goes by the name UFO Hunter, and.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to take that one offline with you to let you know who he might have come in contact with.
Okay, Joe, we'll do that later on. But I have to ask this follow-up question about this whole situation. Is there any possibility that the filming effect could have been done on a mental level?
No, because I was getting comments... that's the most amazing. I'll tell you another quick, because I know detail's important too, because I always like to hear detail when I hear about, you know, other people's encounters. So one of the last footage, by the way, there was a lot that led up to the last footage. You know, I continued to film them at night, and by the way, they would also what I term as morph into trees. I mean, they could make actual trees turn into this big alien head, you know, with the two eyes and everything. It sounds crazy, but they could actually do all that.
You mean in the video itself they could morph?
Well,
in the video they morph?
The
oh.
Yeah, they would make the trees look like a large alien head. They could do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I started to become obsessed about filming, and it started to become like a compulsion almost, even though I knew I was filming demons. Now, here's my rationalization. I was posting, aliens are not real, these are demons. That's what I would put, you know, as the heading some of the times. So I was trying to help people, and one of the things that I couldn't figure out was that I'd continually identify them as demons pretty much right from the very beginning. I was never trying to spread the lie. I was trying to actually spread the truth of it. And I couldn't figure out why they would let me to continue filming them when there I was exposing them for what they were. And it took me a long time to figure out what it was. And what basically what I figured out was that they let me film them. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter what I said. There's a power in the actual footage where some people wouldn't believe anything that I said anyway, and they'd believe that they were actually seeing aliens. So,
oh, well, I
that's
get
what I
it.
Discovered.
I think, all right, now look, I think I get it, but let me just throw it at you, and you let me know if I'm on the right track here.
Sure.
Even though you may be suspecting what you're doing is all negative, and now you're going to use the very thing to try to expose them to the public, if that were possible, they're looking at it from a point of view, no, we're going to use Glenn as a conduit anyway, because even if we don't hook him, we'll hook these other naive fools.
Exactly.
Is that
exactly.
it? Oh, okay. I just wanted to make
That's
sure
exactly
that
it.
We were on the same. Yeah, okay.
And
which
a good
makes sense to me.
A good example of that is the guy that I showed after I erased all of my footage, who still wanted to see it, so I gave him the name of the person that I learned on, because his is still on there. And it shows you how dangerous it is, because, you know, the guy hasn't slept, and, you know, he told me that he's thought of shooting himself a couple times. And, you know, it's very, very dangerous. And anyone listening, don't even go there.
Right.
It's not worth it.
Okay. Now, Glenn, this is important now. If these were demons that you were coming to the conclusion of from the knowing that you're getting from all of this, were there any negative effects of filming these demons to you personally?
Oh, absolutely. I was being absolutely harassed. I'm still being harassed, to be honest with you. It's gone down quite a bit. You know, I was being, they were trying to possess me, for one thing. You know, they were trying to get into my head. And, you know, they'll try to drive you crazy, basically. But that's when I started using, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. And that, I was using those kind of things. And I was pleading the blood of Jesus over my entire property. You know, I would say I plead the blood of Jesus over my front yard, my backyard, inside my house, on my roof, in the air, you know, below. And I'm still doing that to this day, and it's helped quite a bit. But that's not to say that the harassment just all of a sudden stops.
I got it, right.
Yeah.
Well, as we know, and it has been pointed out on these interviews over the last 6 months or so, and I'm sure Joe will vouch for this, that even though you are successful in ridding the demon in a particular point of view, it's like a spiritual war, but that's a battle. And there may be a series of battles because they don't give up too easily. Is that right, Joe?
Yes. And part of the 8 R's that we talked about over time is it tells you on one of the R's to resist. Because they will come back. And the reason that they come back, and this is something I want Glenn to be aware of and why this is continuing to happen with him, is he used to be under their control, and they don't like it when you change sides. And they're going to constantly tempt you and try to prevent you from sharing the truth. But the one thing that we know to do because of what the 8 R's tell us is to resist. And he knows how to resist now. And he understands who they are. That's the recognize, responsibility, taking responsibility for what you recognize, renounce it, remove it, and resist it. So the cycle can continue. The one thing that he's been able to do is find the empowerment through the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And being that you mentioned that this is a war, this is a heavenly war, an earthly war, a galactic war for our souls, we are still dealing with the skirmishes of that war. We know how the war ends, but we still have the skirmishes to go through during our life. And he is actually coming from a person who might have been looking at this from the outside, being somebody in the analogy of a football game where he's in the stands, where Glenn is now taking a position on the field. he's becoming a soldier. By giving your testimony and helping others, you've become a soldier in the battle itself. So, yeah, you're pissing them off, and they're going to continually try to harass, but you have that authority through the name and authority of Jesus Christ to be able to stop these entities, you know, as they continually try to harass. That's one thing that you have now, is that trust and that hope that there is an end to this.
That's right.
Now, one thing I've noticed in my own life, for instance, that regardless of how innocent it seems that you're on a search to find the truth, and I know there are many people that fit into that category, you can't help but dirty yourself when you get involved in the examining or, God forbid, getting too involved with the occult. But even if you open the door a little bit, there does seem to be some negative feedback, and as you said, they actually went about attacking you on a spiritual level. Now, to my mind, I've come to the conclusion that paranormal, any type of paranormal experience, is the devil at work with his hordes doing things to perhaps entice you back or put you in fear, or there's a number of other little games that they play. But did you have any particular paranormal experiences while all of this other stuff was going on?
I'll continue where I left off. I kept filming for, I filmed from about August 15th to late October, almost on a nightly, every second night basis kind of thing, sometimes in the day. And any time I went out there, I could get them on film. And one of the, you know, I had them appear on my laptop screen. That's one of the, that happened a couple times. And it was actually the final time that really broke me down. But before that, one of another amazing footage I had was I was scanning with my camcorder what to film in the backyard, and I couldn't see anything with my naked eye, and I was looking around, and then I noticed something on my camcorder screen, and it was this light, and I moved the camcorder away, and there was nothing there, because normally I was using, I'm not going into great detail because I don't want to give anyone ideas, but I was using human light. But with this, there was no human light whatsoever. So I moved the camcorder back, and there it was again. Anyway, I kept filming, and it was a UFO in my backyard. And I filmed it for like a minute or so. And what really freaked me out this time, because they never moved in my clips. They were always still. Mm-hmm. It was like they were frozen. Anyway, in this one, there was a, you know, what we say is an alien outline. And because first it just like looked like a UFO thing, but then there was the outline, and it looked like it was actually moving in this one. And that's when I got up and got out of there. So that really, really shook me. And up until that point, I had always relied on a human light source, but with this time there was no human light source for this.
Wow.
So anyway, back to what actually broke me down. I stopped filming. I was trying to get out of it, so I was starting to move on to more Christian stuff. I still hadn't erased my footage at this time. And I was filming what I thought was Christian footage. It was this supernatural cross that appeared over in Europe. Anyway, all of a sudden, these hundreds of white faces show up on my laptop screen. This happened a couple times before, but they were the gray, you know, alien faces. Hundreds of them showed up on my laptop screen, and I just broke down. Like, because I started thinking, if they're on my laptop screen, these things are in my room right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were telling me to get rid of the footage, you know, it's evil, and plus I certainly wasn't helping anyone that was watching it. So I erased all of my footage, and I met with a pastor, and he told me to get rid of it right away. And so I got rid of everything, erased it all, and moved on to, you know, just more healthy spiritual things like And I'm happy to say, actually, through this, I just got baptized 3 weeks ago. So this has completely changed my life.
Okay, fine. Now, these hundreds of alien faces that appeared on the laptop, did that come after you had made a commitment to Jesus?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
they still showed up.
So in other words, they really felt that maybe you were just going through the motion, so to speak, of becoming religious again, and Yeah, go ahead.
Don't forget, I was giving them permission when I was filming. When I was filming, mm-hmm. that was opening the door. So when I say that I, decided to turn to more Christian stuff, I was probably filming the day before. So this, and what I've found is things don't start happening immediately like the snap of a finger. It takes days to wind down. Like if you're being attacked, like I was being attacked, and it wasn't like that second it stopped. When I start praying to Jesus and everything, the attacks slowly, and you can feel some of it right away, but they slowly start winding down. So right now, I'm still being attacked, but it's nowhere near what it was before. And the funny thing is, what I'm still being a bit attacked by now are still the crows. That's the harassment there.
Yeah. I was taken by one thing you said in your bio, and I'll read it. It's very short and quick. Maybe you can just comment on it. This is what you said. An audible voice woke me up out of my sleep last night. I'm pretty sure it was just a constant repetition of the following phrase, I am your friend, big bold letters. I'm not certain, but I believe this was being repeated to me over and over while I was sleeping. Then I awoke and heard it one last time. I was in an immediate panic because I knew for certain that the voice was not coming from any heavenly being. I knew it was coming from a demon trying to deceive me.
Yes. I
find that interesting because we had a woman on at the end of December, and Joe was on with her, Joyce Ahrens. Remember Joe?
Yep.
And she ended her very powerful testimony with when she was rid of these things, that they tried to take one more shot, and what she recognized as a demon, an alien gray, by the way, when it was coming through the wall, she rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And the first thing he first says, oh, I'm your friend, let me in. And she says, no, get out and don't ever come back. And he actually went back through the wall and never returned again. And he referred to himself or itself or the whatever you want to call these things, demons, I guess, as her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying the same thing here. It's trying to get you to, for whatever reason, be convinced that they're still your friends.
Well, the demonic will stoop to any level. I mean, they'll go as low as beyond what we would think, beyond what we understand. I mean, that's what it was saying. I am your friend. So this was repeating. Hmm. And by the way, this is the same night that I was speaking with Joe that we discussed me coming on this program. So I had just had a conversation earlier that day with Joe. Anyway, that night, and I definitely heard an audible voice, and it was trying to, I remember that it was trying to repeat it while I was sleeping, and I think it was trying to get it into my subconscious, I am your friend kind of thing.
Right. So they don't even let you alone while you're sleeping. Yes, Joe.
I'd like your listeners to recognize an observation here. Glenn started into this looking for evidence to prove one way or another that there were alien beings. And one thing I'd like your listeners to understand that, and maybe Glenn might understand it now or maybe he doesn't, but he's about to, is that evidence was not the videos that he was taking, that they were giving him to show. The evidence itself now is Glenn himself and his testimony. That is the most powerful evidence that we have today to who these beings are these personal mm-hmm. testimonies that we've been having on these shows. And Glenn, mm-hmm. I hope you realize that now, that you have the evidence, and it's your personal testimony, like the other testimonies that we've had on.
Yes. Thank you,
right,
Joe.
And to the outside world, Glenn, this is called the unwanted evidence, because as David Ruffino mentioned on the program a week or so ago, that MUFON doesn't seem to want to hear about this type of thing. So you become an unwanted person in their litany of information that they are suggesting to the public. How does that make you feel?
Well, there's a few things that I'd like to just briefly say, and I can tell you that I absolutely know this, and I was shown this from my experience, that I'd just like to share this. The Bible is totally true. Totally true. Remember how I was saying I was doting, the story of Noah's Ark and that thing? I couldn't have been more wrong. The Bible mm-hmm. is absolutely true. Secondly, there's no such thing as aliens whatsoever. No aliens at all. They are definitely demons. I have no doubt. I've seen this first. I filmed it night after night. You know, I do ask your listeners to think about that. And there's no question in my mind what they are. They're demons. Third, as I mentioned, there's no life elsewhere. Fourth, hell is real. Hell is definitely real. When you see these things, you know. There's no question in my mind that hell is real. And number five, after I filmed, probably about 2 months later, I wasn't even on the subject, wasn't even thinking of it, and this gentle voice came to me, and what it said was that the alien UFO phenomenon will be used to explain the rapture to non-believers.
Wow. Now that's interesting, Glenn. Right, that is very interesting, because over the course of the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to have two gentlemen on, one Lynn Marzulli and the other one Dr. Chuck Missler, and they're both going to be addressing aspects of the rapture. And I will make it a point to bring this up to of your bearing your witness here, that they will use this false rapture card as part of the overall plan.
Absolutely. Like, I just thought, before this happened, I thought, okay, they're just trying to keep people away from believing, and, you know, they're trying to distract and provide something else and just mislead people. But no, this has been, they did not want me on this program, I can tell you. I've been harassed before this program. They do not want mm-hmm. this out. Like, this mm-hmm. is one of Satan's major, major deceptions. Like, and I just thought it was, you know, distracting and that kind of thing. But no, the main goal is that this is going to explain the rapture to the non-believers.
Right. Well, I can vouch for that. I know when I had an interview with Lynn Marzulli, he was saying, "Byron, I'm getting some interference on my side. Can you hear it?" And I said, "No." But when I played it back and I listened to the download of the program, I actually heard this, what you would have to talk about, this low, moaning, alien gibberish, and I could hear it very clearly on his end, which was meant to distract Lynn while I was discussing a very important point about how the Lynn Cate was being knighted by the Knights Hospitallers for what? For trying to show that the aliens were ET. Really clever, right? Uh-oh, there's that music again. Well, listen, I'd just like to read very quickly, there's a verse from chapter 4 of the letter of James. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Comforting words. Well, I want to thank you very much, Glenn, for being a guest on our program and bearing witness to Jesus Christ. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Byron, and thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you for taking a personal stand.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
Well, good night, Joe, and good night, Glenn.
Good night,
and to all, a peaceful night and a fruitful tomorrow. Good night, everybody.